Today's reading is from Exodus. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning. Would you please join me for a word of prayer? Dear God, we are grateful for this time together and grateful for how you move in and through our lives. And God, we are so challenged and even encouraged that change is always possible. For God, help us to see that maybe the biggest impact we can have on the world is simply by just starting with ourselves. So God, we hope that this message would be a reminder of your grace, of your glory, and your possibilities. In Christ's name we pray, amen, amen. Listen, you already know I'm interactive, so you should expect that when you come at 9:30 and you see me sitting on the front row. If you would just do me a favor and help me out with the sermon title on this morning, if you would just shake your neighbor's hand and just ask them, "What's in your hand?" What's in your hand? A few weeks ago, I was awakened to the fact that my 7-year-old son was a mean, ruthless, and unforgiving card shark. When we dropped him off at childcare here at the church for an event, it was clear that our children would probably be the only ones that were attending. So they took a few liberties to have some extra fun on that day. So I returned later to find him sitting at a table with a serious stoic face, Uno cards in hand, and having no mercy to the seasoned opponent sitting across from him. When he saw me, he begged to stay and finish his hand because according to his count, he was up 4-2. Although I was in a rush to get home, I decided to hang out for just a little while just to watch and see how this game was going to play out. But as soon as I saw his hand, as soon as I saw what he was holding in his hand, I could tell how this was going to end. With only a few Uno cards left, he was loaded with a draw 2, draw 4, a skip, and a random red. He had a winning hand. In just a few moments, I knew the score was going to be 5-2. Already knowing how this was going to play out, I made him pack up his things and put his Uno tournament on hold. There was really no need to play it out. I knew how this was going to end. There was no need to watch this woman whose name shall remain anonymous lose another game. No need to watch her get beat again by a 7-year-old. No need to give him any more reason to boast, because one look at his hand and I knew how this game was going to end. It didn't matter he was only 7. All I had to do was just look at what he was holding in his hand and make a judgment about how this was going to end. Truth is, in many ways, our lives mirror this reality. There are moments when we too stand at a distance and make determinations of how something is going to end, of how something is going to pan out based on what we're holding in our hands, based on the cards that we've been dealt with. We make evaluative judgments about the possibilities of our lives and the impact that we can have on the world based on what we're holding in our hands. In fact, we see this very early on in Moses' call narrative, because God has just informed Moses that of all people, he has been chosen to return to Egypt, the very same place that he's been trying to avoid for the last 40 years of his life, to face the same ruthless Pharaoh that has enslaved his people, and he's now supposed to go and demand that this same Pharaoh let his people go. Because surely Moses' full army of two people was going to be quite persuasive. So Moses wants to know, now how in the world is all of this going to work? He's having this conversation with God. Moses wants to know how in the world people are going to give him the time of day, and that's when it happens. That's when God asked him the question that would change the tide. That's when God challenged him, and that's when God challenges us by asking one simple question. What's that you have in your hand? Now, this is not an inquiring question from God, because God already knows what Moses has in his hands, but Moses doesn't. Moses knows what he has, but he really doesn't know what he has. In fact, the question stands as a reminder to anyone who's ever been called to make an impact. The question reveals one of the most difficult things that people will have to admit. One of the most difficult things that we will have to admit when we're trying to make an impact is that God is more interested in what you have than what you might be missing. God is more interested in what you have than all the things that you are missing. This is hard for some of us. Let's be honest. This is really hard for many people, because it's easy to get stuck on all the things in our lives that are missing and that are not going well. There are something about most people that when given the chance, we can describe in great detail all the areas that we fall short, all of the areas that we need to change. We can list our faults, our shortcomings. We can list all of the things that are not working out well. Moses could have said, well, I have no army, no resources, no funds, no influence, no plan, no advisors, no horses, no spears, not much experience, not much help, not much experience in negotiations. Moses could have given you a lot laundry list of all the things that were missing in his life, but that's not what God inquires of him in the inventory. The inventory simply asked Moses, what is it that you have in your hand? All God wanted to know was, what is it that you already possess? Tell me what you have. God was more interested in the one staff than all of the other things that Moses could have described that he was missing. In fact, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this, but what this tells me, you're not going to believe me, but here's what it tells me. It tells me that to make an impact, you already have what you need. To make an impact, you already have what you need. Let me say this again. To make an impact in the world, you already have everything that you need. I know it always doesn't feel like it, because there are times when the enormity of the call vastly outweighs what's in your hand. But God has already given you the tools that you need. It is a theological thread that is woven throughout Scripture and throughout the Bible. Look at the man by the name of David. David was up against the fight of his life. He was up against an opponent that he had never seen before, and everything was riding on this fight, and they tried to give David somebody else's armor and somebody else's tool, and with the fight of his life he was facing, David simply said, can I face this giant with the tools I already have? Can I face this giant with the slingshot I've already have? You remember when Jesus was preaching to thousands and it came to a point where their hunger had overcame them and his disciples inquired of Jesus, can we just send the people away so that they can go and get food? And Jesus challenged them and said, everything that we need is already right here. Everything that you think you need to make an impact in the world, you already have. Most people go on these lifelong journeys of discovery looking for something they already have or desperately trying to search for something that they don't really need because if you need it, God will give it to you. And if God hasn't already given it to you, maybe it's that you don't really need it because if you really needed it, God would give it to you. And yet we spend our lives chasing the Holy Grail and chasing buried treasures of things that we don't even need. Chasing things that we don't need. Praying about things that we don't need. Getting jealous over things that we don't even need. The impact that you want to make in the world, chances are, it's already in your hands. So Moses, recognizing what was in his hand, God then asked him to do the unthinkable. And in order to really grasp the magnitude of what God is asking of Moses, I think it's helpful to know that Moses, to a shepherd, a staff was more than just a staff. To a shepherd, a staff was everything. Can you say that? A staff was everything. The staff represented his livelihood. It was his source of identity. To a shepherd, a staff was everything. It was connected to the source of provision. A staff was the one thing that every shepherd learned to place their trust in. They had to. It was dependent on it. No good, self-respecting shepherd would ever leave their home without their staff. They could not function without the staff. They could not earn a living without their staff. A staff was everything to a shepherd. And yet the Lord was asking Moses of the impossible. The Lord asked this shepherd, the Lord asked Moses to lay down your staff. It's a challenging question that we must ask ourselves, and that is, what are we willing to lay down before the Lord? The question takes me back to the year 2005, and I was about 23 at the time, and had an internship at a local Trauma One hospital in the area, and for 3 months, a group of us, we were the spiritual support for all of the floors in this entire hospital. And we saw some of just about everything during those 3 months. And a major part of the internship centered around peer learning. So once a week, we would gather around and we would talk about our weekly visitations and then we would give each other feedback. Now, one of my colleagues I thought was my boy, almost became my mortal enemy that day. Because during one of the feedback sessions, the one who I thought was my boy, he told me in front of the rest of my colleagues, he said, you know, I think you are ministerially insecure. Like, can't you feel the tension in the room? Like, you weren't even there, but can you feel the tension in the room? You weren't even in New Jersey in the hospital, but can you just feel the tension that was in the room when in front of a crowd of people and your boy says in public that I think you are ministerially insecure? You want to cuss, don't you? Not really, but probably so. Here it is, but I tried to remain professional. I really did. I tried my best, church. But if looks and body language could kill, I would be serving a life sentence right now. I had already made it up in my mind that this ain't gonna be my boy no more. I got defensive. I got upset. I closed up. How dare this person who doesn't even know me that well make such an accusation and then make it in public? Now, just to add some context, he was referring to the fact that whenever I did my rounds in the hospital, I always took my man bag. I didn't go into the room without it. And literally, I would carry about 15 books in my man bag because I wanted to be prepared when I went into the room. It makes sense, right? You're not shaking your head. That's all right. Well, it made sense to me in the moment. So I would take my Catholic Bibles for my Catholic patients. I took my Common Book of Worship for my Episcopal friends. I took my interfaith prayers just in case. I had the King James Version, the NIV, the NLT, the NRSV. I had pamphlets on grief. I had pamphlets on cancer. I had some pamphlets on chronic illness. I had prayers for the families, for the patients. I had the scriptures and the psalms already printed out. Then I had them separated in order of your need. If you needed it, I had it in my man bag. I had it already. But you see, my colleague challenged me. In front of everybody, he said, your bag has become your crutch. He said, every day I see you walking around this huge hospital, lugging around that heavy bag, and I know your back hurts. And he said, it dawned on me one day how much lighter it would be for you to just totally trust God and what God has already given you and not what's in the bag. He said, you are ministerially insecure. It's not that you don't trust yourself, but it doesn't seem like you trust God enough to go into the room empty-handed. In front of all my colleagues, he said, I was putting more faith and trust in the things I had in the bag than I was into God. So he challenged me. He said, give me your bag. You can feel the tension, can't you? Right. He said, give me your bag. I said, give me my what? He said, you don't have to. But I promise if you give me your bag, I promise that you will be shocked by what you learn. So out of spite, I gave him my bag. I can be petty like that, right? Out of spite, I gave him my bag. I gave it to him just to shut him up, but he was right. Because as I went from room to room, I realized that the power I so desperately needed did not come from anything that was in the bag, but it came from God. Because everything that was in the bag really came from God anyway. God gave me the words to say, not what was in the bag. God gave me the mind to know when to be silent, not what was in the bag. It wasn't until I was willing to lay down my bag, the very thing I had placed my trust and hope in, that I realized that the bag was not the source of my power or my strength. And that is what God wanted Moses to realize, that his power was not in the staff, but it was in the source. I wonder what some of us might be carrying around today. What has become your crutch? What has become the thing that you grip so tightly? What has become the thing that you think that you cannot live without? What has become the practice? What has become the behavior? What has become so much a part of your identity that you will fight in order to keep it? Because deep down, we believe that the power is in the job. The power is in the people that we know. The power is in the position that we have. But the challenge is, I dare you to lay it all down and see that what you have, the power and the strength and the wisdom, it is not in the bag, but it is in the God that you serve. And something happens when Moses lays down his bag. Something happens when he throws it down. it becomes a serpent. Can you say becomes? It becomes. It becomes something else. In the hands of God, it becomes something different. But the truth is, Moses didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. Moses was so afraid that he ran. But I think we are witnessing something that is challenging but very helpful. Because the reason why we can willingly surrender our bags or willingly surrender what God is asking is that because we have all consistently held on to something for most of our lives, the reason why we can surrender it is because what we have becomes something different in God's hands. In Moses' hands, this staff was used to herd the sheep and lead them in a certain direction. In Moses' hand, this staff was useful when dangerous animals would try to harm one of his sheep. In Moses' hand, the staff could provide leverage and proper footing when going up and down hills. It was fine when it was in Moses' hands, but look what happens when the staff is surrendered into God's hands. Same staff, same size, same shape, same wear and tear. Wow, this is the exact same staff. Same staff. Moses will stand before a Red Sea, will stretch out the same staff, and the sea would miraculously part. Same staff. While traveling to their promised land and thirst would get the best of them, twice Moses would hit the rock with that same staff, and water will come gushing out. Same staff. When they fought a neighboring army, God would eventually tell Moses that as long as you keep your staff in the air, I will miraculously give you victory over your enemies. So two men come along aside of Moses and help him hold up his arms in the air as long as it takes for them to win the battle. Same staff. Same shape, same size, same wear and tear, same staff. And yet in the hands of God, this simple, ordinary staff becomes the instrument for liberation and miracles. It becomes a symbol of hope, a sign of provision. It becomes an instrument of divine power. It parts seas, it opens rocks, it wins battles, it changes minds, it encourages spirits, it quickens hope. Moses never looked at this staff and saw all of that. He never looked at what was in his hands and thought this was something God was going to use to perform miracles. No one ever looked at this regular, beat up, played out, normal, standard size, typical shepherd staff and thought, now this right here is a winning hand. And all of this Moses had in his hand the whole time. This isn't anything new that God gave him. It was the same staff, but just with a new purpose. And I think right here is that we can all agree that in God's hand, the staff became so much more. And that truth extends to our lives. God can do so much more with our lives than we ever could or will. Let me say that again. God can do so much more with our lives than we ever will or could. Think of all that you are, and all that you can do, and maybe all that you are doing. Now imagine all of that in God's hands. Not just with your gifts, but even with our guilt, our shame, and our worst moments, our failures, our past, God can do so much more with them than we ever can. Because this isn't about the becoming of age for a staff. This is about the becoming and the transformation of Moses, because Moses has to be changed before he can lead change. He has to be liberated from his past before he can face his past. He has to be freed from the fear of Pharaoh before he can stand in front of Pharaoh. He has to trust that his life is in God's hands before he can ask others to go in the wilderness and do the same thing. This staff wasn't the only thing being transformed, because for the last 40 years of Moses' life, Moses has been herding sheep and leading them through the desert. His life has remained exactly the same. But now God has a hold of his life, and now the same Moses, same face, same laugh, same walk, same name, but now has a different purpose. That's why I'm reminded of the scripture in 1 John 3 and 2. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and it does not yet appear what you shall become. Somebody say become. We are God's children now, and it does not yet appear what you shall become. It's not just what's in your hand, but what you let God do with it. Because sometimes it's hard to see the miracle in the staff. It's hard to see a liberator buried beneath a shameful past, but it's not yet been revealed what you shall become. And that's what has lasting impact. Impact that spans beyond us to the generations to come, because, watch this, you have been given a great hand. I know what's presumptuous, because I know what you're thinking, Pastor, you don't even know what's in my hands. You don't know what cards I'm holding. You don't know the cards I've been dealt. Well, the truth is, I really don't need to. I just know that the God we serve does wonders with rods and staffs. And in the words of that same guy that got on my last nerves, people with a whole lot less have done a whole lot more. Your God wants to use the very thing that you have in your hand. You don't have to go searching for something different and searching for something new, but God is challenging us, all of us here today. God says, I want to use your life to make an impact. But what's that in your hand? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God, that's a challenging question. Because sometimes it doesn't seem like much. And the truth is, everything that everybody else has always looks so much better than ours. Everybody's experience and everybody's gifts and what they bring to the table seems so much better and so much stronger and so much impactful than ours. And yet, God, you delivered a nation. You parted a sea. You brought nourishment from a hard place. You led the people through the wilderness for 40 years with a simple staff, using what someone was willing to give to you what was in their hands. So God, help us to see clearly the miraculous things that you have blessed us with. Help us to see the rods and the staffs that you have so willingly blessed us with. For this is our prayer and our challenge. In Christ's name, amen.